There was freedom of a sort up here on the rooftops, the only kind of freedom available to a king of the valley. It occurred to Tepic that the landless peasants down on the delta had more freedom than he did. Although the seditious and non-kingly side of him said, yes, freedom to catch any diseases of their choice, starve as much as they wanted, and die of whatever dreadful ague took their fancy. But freedom of a sort. A faint noise in the huge silence of the night drew him to the riverwood edge of the roof. The Dajel sprawled in the moonlight, broad and oily. There was a boat in midstream, heading back from the far bank and the necropolis. There was no mistaking the figure at the oars. The flare light gleamed off his bald head. One day, Tepic thought, I'll follow him. I'll find out what it is he does over there. If he goes over in daylight, of course. In daylight, the necropolis was merely gloomy, as though the whole universe had shut down for early closing. He'd even explored it, wandering through streets and alleys that contrived to be still and dusty no matter what the weather was on the other, the living side of the water. There was always a breathless feel about it, which was probably not to be wondered at. Assassins liked the night on general principle, but the night of the necropolis was something else. Or rather, it was the same thing, but a lot more of it. Besides, it was the only city anywhere on the disk where an assassin couldn't find employment. He reached the light well that opened on the embalmer's courtyard and peered down. A moment later, he landed lightly on the floor and slipped into the room of cases.
Hello, lad!
Tepic opened the lid of the case. It was still empty.
She's in one of the ones at the back, said the king. Never had much of a sense of direction.
It was a great big palace. Tepic could barely find his way around it by daylight. He considered his chances of carrying out a search in pitch darkness.
It's a family trait, you know. Your granddad had to have left and right painted on his sandals. It was that bad. It's lucky for you that you take after your mother in that respect.
It was strange. She didn't talk, she chattered. She didn't seem to be able to hold a simple thought in her head for more than about 10 seconds. Her brain appeared to be wired directly to her mouth, so that as soon as a thought entered her head, she spoke it out loud. Compared to the ladies he had met at soirees in Ankh, who delighted in entertaining young assassins and fed them expensive delicacies and talked to them of high and delicate matters while their eyes sparkled like carborundum drills and their lips began to glisten, compared to them, she was as empty as an empty thing. Nevertheless, he found he desperately wanted to find her. The sheer undemandingness of her was like a drug. The memory of her bosom was quite beside the point.
I'm glad you've come back for her, said the king vaguely. She's your sister, you know. Half-sister, that is. Sometimes I wish I'd married her mother, but you see, she wasn't royal. Very bright woman, her mother.
Tepic listened hard. There it was again. A faint breathing noise, only heard at all because of the deep silence of the night. He worked his way to the back of the room, listened again, and lifted the lid of a case. Petrucci was curled up on the bottom, fast asleep, with her head on her arm. He leaned the lid carefully against the wall and touched her hair. She muttered something in her sleep and settled into a more comfortable position.
I think you'd better wake up, he whispered.
She changed position again and muttered something like... Tepic hesitated. Neither his tutors nor Dios had prepared him for this. He knew at least 70 different ways of killing a sleeping person, but none to wake them up first. He prodded her in what looked like the least embarrassing area of her skin. She opened her eyes.
"Oh," she said, "it's you,"
and she yawned.
"I've come to take you away," said Tepic. "You've been asleep all day."
"I heard someone talking," she said, stretching in a fashion that made Tepic look away hurriedly. "It was that priest, the one with the face like a bald eagle. He's really horrible."
"He is, isn't he?"
agreed Tepic, intensely relieved to hear it said.
"So I just kept quiet. And there was the king, the new king."
"Oh, he was down here, was he?"
said Tepic weakly. The bitterness in her voice was like a number 4 stabbing knife in his heart.
"All the girls say he's really weird," she added, as he helped her out of the case. "You can't touch me, you know. I'm not made of china."
He steadied her arm, feeling in sore need of a cold bath and a quick run round the rooftops.
"You're an assassin, aren't you?" she went on. "I remembered that after you'd gone an assassin from foreign parts. All that blood..."